Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. Well, with my co-host,
Tom Measure.
And then in the studio with us, we have others, Tom, because this is about Strong Tower Radio's birthday or anniversary, depending how you want to look at it, because we officially went on the air December 23rd, 2009.
You know, Jelaine, we can never tell this story enough. It kind of makes me think about, you know, as a kid, I always asked my parents the same old story. How did you and Dad meet? And so this is one of those stories.
That's right. So in the studio with us, we don't have the whole crew. This is part one. But in the studio with us, we have Bethany Bolduc, who is David Bolduc, the president of Strong Tower Radio, his wife.
Hi, folks. It's nice to be here with you today.
And then we also have two other staff members, Cam Ferguson. And Cam, what is your title?
Development Director.
Okay. And we'll hear more about Cam when he started, because he's kind of the newbie. And then we also have his wife, who's a volunteer, Jody Ferguson.
Yes, it's good to be here.
Okay. And running the board, we have our IT guy, who will talk a little, I think. And this is John Duman.
Thanks, Jelaine.
Well, Jelaine, we get to know him every month. Once a month, he comes with the theme of the month, and he talks about the newsletter. So he's familiar to our listeners.
That's right. Yes, you are on the air, besides running our board. Okay, well, Tom, before we get started talking about our story, Strong Tower Radio, which it wasn't always called that, would you have a word of prayer?
Yes. Our Father in Heaven, it's good to celebrate and to see where you have led.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, where we see that, we can look at today and we can imagine the future, but we also can look at eternity too. Bless us as we celebrate how you have blessed and led this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, Bethany, we've talked about how David's always liked radio. Okay.
Yes.
But we're not going there. We want to talk about, well, Strong Tower Radio was not always called Strong Tower Radio, Christian radio station. When did that actually happen that we could start the application or whatever we had to do to get this radio station up and running?
So over the summer in 2007, we found out about the window. So when you want to have a radio station, it's not, you have to have a license through the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. And it's not like going to the driver's license, the Secretary of State's office, and getting a driver's license. You just do that any old time. You just walk in there and they're open. You take a number, stand in line, and get your license. But when you get a license for a radio station, you can only apply when they tell you there's an application window opening. So there are certain dates that they give out about every 10 years, roughly about once every 10 years, that you are allowed to put in an application. So we found out about one of those windows of application. And so over the summer, probably late summer, August, September timeframe, we started getting serious about looking into it. And my husband found a potential frequency. And we kind of started the ball rolling. We called the engineering people, and we called the attorney, and we started the ball rolling, thinking it was going to be much different than it was. God led us on an amazing journey.
Right. Well, and the thing about, for the FCC, you have to apply, but like you said, it's not all the time, maybe every 10 years. And one reason we found out about this was through Three Angels Broadcasting
Yes.
Network, which we are an affiliate of them. They have a TV station as well as radio station. In fact, they have, I don't know how many TV stations now. But and they were very helpful to David because he was familiar with them because he had volunteered.
Yes, he had volunteered with them. And we, at that time, we were living in central Illinois, and it was about a 3-hour drive to get to 3ABN from where we lived. So we would go down often. They would have events where it was open to the public and they would have big meetings and convocations. And we would oftentimes go when they had those. And so Yeah, they were very helpful and inspirational to us and answered a lot of questions.
Because David really was looking for maybe a radio station in the area in Illinois where you were living,
yes,
right?
Yes. We had always been cognizant of the fact that my parents were older and we wanted to make sure that we supported them as they aged. And if that meant moving to the family farm, that we were willing to do that. But at the time that we found the frequency in Michigan, we weren't really planning to move to Michigan. It wasn't really something that we had been like, oh yeah, this is when we're going to do it. So yeah, my husband was initially looking in central Illinois for an open frequency to make an application during that window, but there wasn't any that he could find with the tools that he knew about and knew how to use at that time. He couldn't find an open frequency. And so he looked here in Michigan because this is where I am originally from.
Right. And that's where he happened to find a frequency.
Yes.
That was, and so when he found that to when the window closed, how much time was there?
It was originally supposed to be like maybe 4 to 5 weeks, but it got extended a little bit because the FCC's computer system had a glitch and there was some problems. So they had to extend their application window a little bit. So maybe 6 weeks.
So that might have even helped us because
yes.
Tell us, what do you have to do to apply?
Well, first of all, you have to be something. I mean, you have to have some sort of a corporation or an entity.
And this was for nonprofit educational, so it
yes.
had a certain criteria.
Yes.
If you were in the general public, you know, just an individual could buy it. But this was for educational. It had to be a nonprofit organization.
Correct. And so, like, we had to form a board. We had to find people who were willing to be on our board. And a certain percentage of those people had to live within 25 miles of where that radio station, their coverage area for that radio station. So there were specific guidelines, and even at that beginning stages, we had to follow those guidelines. So it was, we made a quick trip up here, and we had a board meeting at the house. And
which was how many people?
We had a couple people on the phone, and my mom and my dad and me and my husband. It was kind of our first board meeting.
Well, great things start with a few people.
And ironically enough, though, our very first donation that opened the bank account came from Illinois.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that was, what was the date then? October of 2007?
Yes. Yeah. I would have to look at some of the documents to see the exact mm-hmm. moment. But yeah, October of 2007.
So you basically had to go from zero to, well,
something.
It wasn't quite 100 because you weren't on the air. But in order to make the application, you had to do a lot of stuff.
We did.
And it all had to fall in place. There wasn't any scooch room to speak of.
Not much.
I mean, you had to form a nonprofit corporation.
We didn't have our 501c3 yet. That
okay.
would come later. But yes, we had to form a corporation that was, in essence, not-for-profit. And we had to set up a board. And we had to do a lot of legwork with the engineering firm, and we had to do a lot of legwork with the attorney. There was quite a few steps involved.
And it's not like this was your day job.
No, my husband worked full time. I was a full time mom. Yeah, no, this was just purely volunteer on the side.
Evenings and weekends.
Yes.
Well, and I remember I was real close to the very beginning being
yes.
called. Actually, folks, they had asked my husband and me both to be on the board, which kind of that made sense for you because you had a couple other couples, you know, because mm-hmm. like you said, you had to have so many people within the area, and we live, you know, within the Cadillac area. And my husband is like, he doesn't like to be on boards. You know, he doesn't like board meetings and all. And so
he'd rather be in the tractor. Huh?
Yes, he would. So anyways, he says, well, why don't you? And I mean, I have no experience or anything about radio. And to this day, which is, you know, how many days, how many years later?
Now 16.
Now 16 when we started. I still don't know a lot about radio. I just like to talk. So that's why I'm on the radio, folks.
We need you, Jelaine. Yeah.
But anyways, so October of 2007, but like I said at the top of the hour, we didn't go on the air until December 23rd, 2009.
So what do you do in all that time? Just kind of sit around and wait for that date to come up?
No, no. First of all, you have to wait to find out if you even get the frequency that you ask for. And we found out that we were overlapping with another entity that had asked for the same frequency, just slightly south of Cadillac. So we had requested a Cadillac center of the location, and they had requested Reed City. And so we actually had to negotiate with them. So they agreed to pull back their signal and do a directional signal, and we agreed to pull back our signal. So there was kind of a no man's land, like probably about Leroy area, where our signal wouldn't go quite that far south and their signal wouldn't go quite that far north, so we wouldn't interfere with each other. So when we agreed with them, the two entities agreed, then the FCC was able to move forward with both of our applications. And then once you get your application, then you have to start getting your equipment together. You have to sign your tower agreements.
What about raising money?
Well, yeah, there's that too. There's always that. Always.
Well, was it $10 and $10 a month or something?
It was. We needed right about $100,000 to start with.
It's expensive, folks, to start a radio station. It can be expensive to buy a radio station. But like Bethany said, you need equipment. You have to be on a tower. Yes. So you got to have an antenna on a tower to be able to, you know, have this frequency.
There's lots of pieces, parts that go into a radio station. You have a electronic device called a transmitter, and that actually pushes your signal, your whatever it is you're broadcasting, it pushes it up a feed line that goes up the tower out the antenna. So you have to buy a transmitter, you have to buy the feed line, you have to install the feed line on the tower, you have to have an antenna, it has to be installed on the tower. Then you have to have things for your alert system, your EAS, your emergency alert system, has to be installed. And you have maybe a dehydrator to keep your feed line dry, because sometimes it's not as sealed as it ought to be. And if it gets wet, it doesn't transmit properly, doesn't carry the signal from the transmitter to the antenna. And then you have to, you know, we were starting from scratch. We had no
equipment.
Recordings. We had no computers. We had no, you know, storage of those recordings. We had nothing, no microphones to record with. So we had to get all of that equipment and get all of that in place as well. So we had to figure out a location. So the first station was more complicated than some of the subsequent stations that we have either purchased or built, because we had to start from scratch. We needed everything.
So 2 years, we turn around, we'll talk about some subsequent stations with CAM, some of our most recent ones in memory, but it's a little more different. 2 years.
Yes. The FCC typically gives you 3 years from the time that you're awarded the construction permit to the time that you have to finish constructing and be on the air. So it's typically 3 years.
$100,000 took 2 years.
Roughly. We're rounding.
Okay.
Actually, I think there's more than that. It's expensive. I mean, and people don't understand that. But once, you know, we got everything, the Lord answered prayers, because I heard you say, you know, there was another entity and they were going to be in Reed City and we were going to be up here in Cadillac. So our signal could not go that way. We're not going to get into that whole story, but now 91.9 here on Cadillac, WGCP, which meant something. Where God's character is proclaimed, WGCP.
Should sound familiar somehow.
Yes, yes.
Now that reaches south of Big Rapids. So something did change, and God has just continued to bless us. Because I can tell you, folks, when we first started, and you can't see me, but I'm looking at like a map of Michigan. I've got my hands a little circle around Cadillac, Michigan. That was our station.
And we were perfectly content. We were thrilled. Right. We were so excited with what God was doing.
Yes,
one. We were
going to
have a radio station.
Yes, one radio station. And but God had other plans. And it's just, you know, it's one miracle after another, Tom. You came on board in
2016.
Yes.
And Lansing, or Grand Rapids, was just coming on the air. Lansing followed shortly. Alpena came on. There was a cascade.
But Lansing started before Grand Rapids was even in the works. And before that, then, we had Cadillac Station. Then we went to the UP. Mm-hmm. And I tell this story a lot, especially up in the UP. I can remember driving, and Lord, why are you taking us to the UP? You know, the cities, Detroit, Flint, you know, all these people, that's where we need to be. And I'm just like, so why are we going up there? And then all of a sudden I felt this conviction, and I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, not that the people in the UP don't need to know about Jesus. You know, and this is, folks, and I don't know how many of you have ever done this, but it wasn't an audible voice. But what I heard in my head when I said that, you know, I'm sorry, they need Jesus too. You know, why aren't you sending us somewhere else? He said to me, let me see what you do with what I give you. Because he gave us pretty much that next, I mean, we had to pay for it.
Right.
But it came out of nowhere, kind of. It wasn't anywhere we were looking for.
It was providential, though.
Yes.
I mean, everything has been providential.
Yeah, and that second station was WIHC out of Newberry in the UP.
That's the Eastern UP.
Yeah. We discovered in the meantime that the UP gets a lot of visitors from other parts of the state.
That's right. Yes. So. Yeah.
And then the third station, wasn't that also up there?
No, that was Midland.
It was the Midland station, which happened to be our biggest coverage.
Actually Gladwin.
Yeah, it's actually Gladwin, but it's kind of Midland, Mount Pleasant. Yeah,
it's licensed to Harrison, but it's closest to Gladwin.
But geographically, it covers a bigger area than when I was just saying Little Old Cadillac.
Right. Yeah. Then we leapfrogged to the UP.
Yes, and God just, it was unbelievable what God has done here. And as we've grown, starting out, George Corliss, many of you that have been listening for a long time know George. He was part of us in the very beginning, too.
And that's why we call ourselves Strong Tower Radio.
Yes.
Because when we started, I can very clearly remember, we had a room that we called our den. We had my bookcase was there with my books. I'm a librarian by background, so I have lots of books. And our desk with our computer was there. My husband was sitting at the computer. I was sitting in a wingback chair, kind of across on the other side of the desk. And we were discussing what to call this entity we were creating.
Well, George kept saying we needed a tagline.
Well, this is when we were first making our application and who we were going to be and what we were going to do. And I said, well, it's a form of media. And there's other forms of media, which we might give books away or something. So we need to be inclusive. And we're in Michigan, but it's west central Michigan. So it's not like the tip of the mid, and it's not like downstate Michigan. So it's kind of west central Michigan. So let's call ourselves West Central Michigan Media Ministries.
That's our corporation
name. That's our corporation name. Yes. And then George Corliss is like, that's too long. And he didn't like saying that. He wanted something more catchy. Oh,
that's kind of hard to say on the air.
It is. I agree. So he wanted kind of that catchphrase. And he came up with Strong Tower Radio.
And again, that was providential. He was devotional and seeing, mm-hmm. you know, a verse in the Bible. It is Proverbs 18:10. That says the
word of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe.
That's right. And so, and I can remember the board meeting where we were talking about it. I'm like, yes, that sounds great. So that was it. So anyways, so that, yes, we started that. But the WGCP, that's why it's where God's characters proclaim. So that is, we are called Strong Tower Radio. And then our tagline kind of now is where God's character is proclaimed for all of our stations. So, John, you came on board before Cam did, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Nodding your head doesn't do too much on the air.
And John, why did we need you?
I'm not sure.
Well, I could say this. I think that God wanted him to be here. Maybe it's because he needs us. I don't know. But David was having a conversation with John's brother, and John's brother was saying that John kind of was looking for a different job and might be interested in working with us. And David felt that insistent voice of the Holy Spirit that's not really a voice, but it's kind of an impression in your mind. If his name isn't John, we're not interested. My husband didn't know what his name was at the time.
Yeah,
come to
David,
find out.
David told me that the day we met for the first time.
Yep.
And you came on, and David was, with all these balls or hats that he had, running the network and the computers, and you came along, and we are where we are today because of what you and your nephew did.
Yes. My nephew was a huge part of the network piece, yeah.
Yep. And you like recording, so you've helped us with recordings, and you're part of the backbone with Debbie Blosser and Lori Beamer and, of course, your brother for the Strong Tower Radio Variety Hour, which is a wonderful ministry of this
yes,
ministry.
Yes, they help to represent Strong Tower Radio. And without John, I know Sandy would always call John about the computer. I'd be in trouble because he is our computer guy and helps.
He's resurrected a few of my computers 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
Well, we got to get Cam in here. Cam came along. There was a change of his life, or he was looking for a change, and we needed a development director. And
well, that's because George had been sick the whole time from the beginning with Strong Tower Radio, his health. And George passed away in 2018, and he was, we didn't call him our development director, but that's what he was. He was the fundraiser. In fact, way back when we started, because David was the only employee, but we need David. David couldn't do everything by himself, and so George was going to come on board. He had to raise his funds so he could get a salary. So then when George passed away, we needed help. And you're right, Cam. I guess it was providential for you and Jody, right?
Yes. Before I even had Strong Tower Radio in my radar, I had listened to them periodically while I was working on a house that the Lord had very clearly directed us to purchase in summer of 2013, about 32 miles to the northwest of Cadillac. And so I would work on that, and I didn't get the reception very well at first, and I later found out why it suddenly improved. As you mentioned earlier, WGCP has been expanded. And so, praise the Lord for that. I found out why when I began working here. But we moved up in summer of 2019, and I was planning to bring my corporate accounting management job up to Michigan because I'd worked out of my home for over 10 years. Well, the corporation's parent company decided they didn't want an employee in Michigan, so they nixed that. And within 2 years, I realized it was amazing providence of the Lord. And I don't say it's unbelievable because too many people say that. Words mean things. God does things that are believable. They're amazing. They're not unbelievable. And just as I look back, it's amazing. Jody was here and I was wrapping up the job I thought I was bringing to Michigan. And she was befriended by several people from Strong Tower Radio who invited her, hey, come be a part of this. So she started volunteering, and then that's how I got introduced to the ministry. I was on the prayer list regarding my employment situation. And then that eventually led to an invitation to apply for the development director position in the fall of 2019. And so I have been working with Strong Tower Radio since February of 2020, and it has been a great blessing. And I could take an hour just to tell you all the story.
Amen.
But trust me, that is a micro capsule of all things Strong Tower Radio, because the way that God has worked in every detail from one station, and that was what the founders were content with, to now we have 15 stations broadcasting and 8 to 9 more that are being developed.
It's amazing.
It's not anything great on our part. It's look at what the Lord hath wrought, like Samuel Morse said when he tapped out that first message. It's the same thing here. Look at what the Lord has done, is doing, and we look forward to what he will do.
So, Jody, yeah, you were volunteering. You had no idea that maybe Cam would be working here, right?
No, I had no idea. I did know, I had the conviction that when we were moving up here, it wasn't something that was a giant burden like, oh no, what's God going to do? But we knew God was calling us to Michigan and that it would involve ministry. And of course, we are all called to personal ministry. So we didn't know if it was expansion of that or something else, and we just prayed about it. We committed it to the Lord. And I remember running into Sandy Cole and also Joy Corliss, that's George Corliss' wife, at a couple programs at 13th Street Church. And they invited me, oh, you should come. And Chris
Hominga.
Yes. And invited me to come, you should come here. And we struck up a friendship, especially with Sandy. And I started volunteering in July that year.
What year was that?
In 2019.
Okay.
And so it was coming in and volunteering and spending time. And then I would be under interrogation. It's like, you're married, right? And you're really married. We haven't seen him yet, you know, and then asking questions about him and, you know, involvement in ministry and church and travel. And that's where people learned about him speaking and being in other countries and ministering and teaching and instructing. And so as the station had this need, there was more inquiries and more prayers concerning this. And Cam's job with the answer to prayer, they instantly terminated him, but then they extended, oh, we don't have anybody to take care of this, so can you stay? So he actually stayed in Tennessee for, end up being basically the rest of the year. We didn't know that initially. It was only going to be until August, and he would come periodically and visit, and it was in November he came, and that's where David Bullduck was like, have him come in and fill in an application.
Well, the thing about Cam being our fundraiser, are you a certified public accountant? You do?
Yeah, I have CPA license.
Yes, okay. So
20-some years of experience.
So
in that.
That's a good thing for us, too. We appreciate that.
When it comes to making the budgets and making presentations, we truly appreciate your expertise.
Well, praise the Lord. I will say this. There's always the temptation for me to want to go work with a computer and just do the accounting because it's a very comfortable place to be. But that's not why I'm here. God put me here to be circulating and to speak in churches, to introduce people to Strong Tower Radio, to share what he is doing through the ministry, mm-hmm. and to encourage its support. And we're counseled, make the needs known.
That's right.
And not only the needs of the ongoing ministry, but the growth opportunities and the need to grow. As we heard, the founders were content with one small station. God says, I've got way bigger plans. Watch this.
Well, it's a good thing he didn't let us know that at the time. We'd been overwhelmed.
I think I would have been too intimidated to take that first step if I would have known what 16 years was going to bring. But praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because in his providence, we didn't see what it was going to be and all of the ins and outs. And so by faith, we step forward.
Amen. And God wants this ministry to grow.
Amen.
And we as a Strong Tower Radio team do not have a growth plan. God is the growth director, and he keeps opening the door to various opportunities. And I have been asked numerous times, what is the ultimate goal for Strong Tower Radio operationally? And I said, we do not set a particular goal. We had sort of done that once in that we were content with one station. Not that we refused to grow, but we were content. And God says, no, I want more. I want to grow this ministry because I want to reach people through radio.
Amen.
And he keeps pushing us, if you will, or drawing us forward, opening doors. And, you know, we mentioned earlier about WIHC. That was a classic precedent in that it wasn't something we went and looked for. The door opened and we said, oh, okay, let's go through. And that has been very descriptive of the growth that we have had to date. And I find no reason to say or expect that that will change because God is ultimately the leader
That's
of
right.
this ministry. So he's going to direct how much we grow and the way in which we grow.
Amen.
That's right.
I think that's a very key element because that goal of setting goals is important to keep in mind that it's God's ministry. So the goals that are set or to be in the center of his will, whatever
Amen.
That looks like.
Amen.
Well, folks, we need to take a quick break, but stay tuned for part two, and you will have more people you're going to hear from.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio today, and we have the staff. And in the first half, we talked about launching just one station. But there's been subsequently 14 more of those, and there are similarities and there are differences. So, Cam, do you want to take that one? And what's the difference between launching the very first one and when you go from about 16 up to 23?
Well, even though I wasn't there, there are some basics that apply. In the first station, you're starting from scratch. Now, the Lord in 14 years has opened the way to purchase 14 more stations. And we have permits to build 8 more. And we've actually been working on that for about 18 months or more. And to build one versus to build out 8 while you're maintaining an operation is a much more Herculean endeavor. You feel more spread out, and there's a lot of things to address, and things come up with each of those permits that you didn't anticipate, and you have to pivot and address those. And so it takes a lot, because now you've added that onto an already full schedule. And so while I've done a little bit, David has done the lion's share of all the technical work and consulting with engineers. And so he's going to be able to tell more of a granular story of some of the things that he's been encountering. And it's definitely full of challenges. But as we know, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Absolutely. So, David, what's the difference between the 9th and 10th child?
The 9th and 10th child, well, more diapers. But with the stations, like Cam was talking about, one of the biggest challenges is with the 15 stations we currently have, 9 of those are full power stations, which they all have EAS systems. They all have the emergency alert
system.
Right. They all have the public files we have to maintain every quarter.
With the FCC.
Right, with the FCC. And so there's a lot of logistics in the background where with the first station, whenever we built the first station, we didn't have those requirements because we weren't on the air. And so there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes with these existing 15 stations. And, you know, we don't talk about it much, but we have a lonely TV station here in Cadillac that has been having a lot of technical challenges too to maintain that. Plus there's keeping track of the tower lights, and sometimes the lights choose not to work at nighttime, so we gotta keep tabs on that. But then there's also just the overall keeping the operations of the staff and everything here at the radio station here in Cadillac. So adding 8 more stations, it would seem it's just adding another station. But trying to balance the playing field on all 23 potentially other stations at the same time, it's a 23-way balancing act that you're just trying to maintain progress on a daily and a weekly basis. And so it's not just like having one more child in a sense, it's bringing on a whole new family. So hopefully that answers your question.
Very good. We are getting, this is the Christmas season and the last program before Christmas. Maybe we as the staff can give some thoughts about what Christmas means to them. And Jody, would you start us out?
Sure. Christmas is a very special time of year for multiple reasons for me. Family is a big marker. And of course, when we think about Jesus and Jesus being, we're included in his family because he came to earth, because he loves us that much to include us. And but also individuals that are outside, not necessarily our blood, but also extensions, like our Strong Tower family. And those are very special, make this time of year very special to me. And also, I think that because it's also my birthday this time of year, and I was also re-baptized, recommitted myself to the Lord on Christmas Day. So it's like a double birthday for me.
Very good. Cam, what does this season mean for you, and what would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, I grew up in Hawaii, about 4,000 plus miles away from all my extended family, and never actually spent Christmas with my extended family. And we always kind of felt like we were out in the middle of nowhere, and the family was way back in Michigan.
Yeah, in paradise.
Some of the other states. And yet, as I thought about it later on as an adult, you know, there's always the human tendency to feel sorry for yourself. And yet here I am out in the middle Pacific Ocean, and what is that compared to Christ coming down, incarnating into the human race, leaving all of heaven and its perfect environment, the adoration and the obedience of all the angelic host who were eager to do anything he asked, and to come down into this dark world that was just jammed up with sin and eager for something better, yet it didn't know what. And in Christ's life, how few times he even experienced appreciation and acceptance. And he did, he gave himself for me, for you, for the whole world, and really for the entire universe, because he says in John 12:32, if I am lifted up, I will draw all unto me. Not just humanity, the entire universe.
Amen.
And so even though Jesus wasn't born in December, that's easy math you can figure out from the scriptures. This is a time when the world looks at least towards Christ and Christmas. And so what an awesome opportunity to take that opportunity and approach people and invite them to receive the greatest gift that's ever been given to humanity.
Thanks so much, Cam. Joy.
Sure. I'm thankful that during this season, people's hearts seem to be open, more open to Jesus than in other times of the year. And because of this radio station, we're able to hopefully touch more hearts. They're searching for, maybe it's just Christmas music, but they may hear messages that may open up their hearts, that they may draw closer to the Lord. So this Christmas season especially, I'm thankful for the listeners and the donors that help to keep us on the air. And for my time to be able to spend with my family, too. It's a special time.
Personally, the Christmas season has many, it's a very active, dynamic time. Just last night, before we recorded this, we went to a school program. Mm-hmm. It's a time where the parents and such, it's a Christian school, and so had a Christian theme to it, people together. They even had a fundraising dinner, a lot of time together, often the programs at church, and then there's work parties, and then there's a gathering. So it's a lot of social opportunities and reacquaintances and affirmations. And but also we have our day job here at the station, and we're looking forward to spending time with family and some time off and such, but you have to maintain that same thing, because the listener's experience is primary. And so we want them to have something on Christmas Day, something to look forward to, that they can invite their friends to. So it's really a big time for David, 48 hours of scheduling programming. That may mean more than 48 different programs, because if we have half-hour programs, so it requires extra work, but it's a labor of love, looking forward to we just can imagine how the listeners will be enjoying this on Christmas Eve Day and Christmas Day, but actually all month long we have special programming. So these are things that I look forward to, and some, you know, we take time to go visit to sing at nursing homes and just do things like that. When you give, you get something in return also. David, would you like to kind of share some Christmas thoughts? And maybe this is your Christmas address to all our listeners.
Oh, I don't know. The one thing about Christmas, it goes back to just being a kid and being with family. But 29 years ago, it was just a few days after I proposed to Bethany that we spent our first Christmas together. And it's a wonderful time of year. But like Cam said, it's all about Christ. It goes back to his sacrifice, how he left the courts of heaven, and he willingly came here to never again go back in the same way. His sacrifice is a complete and eternal sacrifice on our behalf. Yeah. And we just thank God for what he's doing through this ministry. And we look at the 14 years we've been broadcasting and the lives and the testimonies. I'd like to walk by that wall we have here with the pictures of people's lives that have been changed to see the impact of Strong Tower Radio over the years. And it's just a blessing to be a part of that. And yeah, Christmas is a long day with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But like I told John different times, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it, because I just enjoy the feedback we get from people, how they were touched and blessed by programs. And so to be a little part of that is a blessing to me.
You know, David, a couple things you said there. One is walking by that poster. I was just showing, it was from one of our camp meeting displays. It's about 7 feet high and it's about 10 feet wide. And half of that poster is of pictures of people committing their lives to Christ in baptism or profession of faith. And that just kind of reminds me that there's somebody out there past the recordings and the radio waves. The other thing that you said made me think about it is that David is basically, while we're at home enjoying in the background hearing a sermon or hearing a song or something, David is on call, one beeper away from some message that says one of the stations is down. And so he's back there, the backstop, to make sure that your program is heard on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And so we want to thank you for your service.
Amen. We also have to schedule Christmas dinner around the broadcast schedule.
Oh, how is that? Here's some insight. I was kind of thinking, I didn't know if you would have problems with this, but you're kind of like the matriarch of this organization. But, I mean, you are ma and pa here and such, but why do you, tell us behind the scenes how Christmas dinner is affected by the broadcast.
Well, for example, if we wanted to eat at 2 o'clock and there was a schedule, there was a program that started at 2 o'clock, we would need to wait, 5 or 10 minutes into the hour so that he could be listening to the radio and make sure that the program played properly and be right there with his laptop in case something glitched. Because we do have an automation system, the station runs by computer. We don't have a person sitting there physically playing the records, in quotes, but sometimes computers don't glitch. Work the way they're supposed to work, and they just stop all of a sudden for no good reason. And so he has to kind of babysit the signal when there's special programming, especially.
So, and that's what all the 48 hours of Christmas is 48 hours of special programming.
Yeah. So once the program is running the way it's supposed to and everything's good, then, he can step away from the computer and come to the table and we can have prayer and we can sit down and eat. But
so you have 25 minutes before the next half
exactly.
hour, right?
Exactly.
So now we know what David does on Christmas. So we know exactly when your dinner is going to be, 5 minutes after the hour or 5 minutes
right. somewhere in there. Yep.
So That's your memory of Christmas, or is it more than that?
It's more the recent reality of Christmas and Thanksgiving and anytime we have special programming.
Very good. Do you have memories before the radio station came on the air of Christmas events?
Yes. And it's interesting because our lives change over time. There was a point in my life when sending out Christmas cards was very important to me.
Oh, yeah. We did, too.
And I had a huge list. I mean, I probably sent to like 150 people easily. And then there were people at church that I would just hand a card to. But over the years, my life has changed. My finances have changed. And I realized that while those people have not lost their importance, but I have not maintained the relationship. They have not maintained the relationship. Relationships are a two-way street. So if both parties are not doing anything to maintain that relationship, and all you're doing is sending a Christmas card to someone once a year, it kind of becomes, well, what's the point in that when you don't really have enough money to have the luxury of sending out 150 Christmas cards anymore? So things can change. But traditions, I think, around the holidays can be very comforting to people because it ties us, the present, with the past. So that special dessert that maybe your grandmother made and you learned how to make and you bring out that recipe that maybe you only make once a year. And as you're making it, as you're putting it together, you're reminded of all of those warm times with your family and special friends, depending on the circumstances. But I think those traditions are kind of one of the things that makes Christmas special. And it's interesting, my son does a lot of research. And he told me that in some places in the world, they didn't always celebrate New Year's on January 1. And I've always tied Christmas and New Year's together because they're only a week apart. And so for me, it's always been kind of a double celebration. You celebrate Christmas, and then
7 days later,
you celebrate New Year's. But apparently, in Merry Old England, the New Year started on March 26, according to my son's research.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes new traditions are good and healthy, and I would like to challenge the listeners. I do a lot of writing in my life. I would like to challenge the listeners to be intentional and maybe think of something that they could start as a new tradition, as a way of reaching out to others and moving outside of their comfort zone a little bit to extend to someone else the joy of the season and share with someone in some way. And I'll leave it up to their discretion to think of things that they could do. There's all kinds of things I could think of, but that might not be meaningful to them.
When you talked about that recipe of grandma or such, my grandmother has passed on, but my sister has picked up that recipe, and it's mm-hmm. part of remembering grandma over those years. Yeah, Daniel Bailey is on the phone here, and Daniel, we'd like to hear from you on the phone. Would you share some of your thoughts? You don't hear too much from Daniel. He's usually editing behind the mics. He does many hours of silent work that you all hear. So, Daniel, would you talk a little bit about Christmas to you?
Well, one thing about Christmas is, and I think we could all relate to this, is family. Everyone has said, you guys have already touched on family, how important family is during Christmas. You know, Christ was big on family. Matter of fact, he had a special family he loved to go to on many occasions, and that was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They had a special place in his heart. And so I think Christ is really big on family, and it's nice to get together with family. I remember as kids, we would get together with the cousins and aunt and uncles, and we'd have a really fun time at grandma and grandpa's. And we get together either at here or at my brother's or at my sister's, Holly, who really goes out on Christmas. If you want to get into the Christmas spirit, you just go over her place. It's all decorated. But it's important to be together with family, and it's just a wonderful time. And, of course, we can't forget that we're celebrating Christ's birth, although it probably didn't happen the 25th, but that's the day that we've set aside to celebrate his birth, that he was born and the mission that he had to save the world from sin. I mean, that is very important. He's the greatest gift.
Amen.
And we shouldn't forget that. And, you know, the thing with this is the way everything is being commercialized and all this, it's easy to forget about the true meaning of Christmas. And it's very important to remember this.
Well, thank you so much, Daniel. We still have one more person in the room. Now, some of our staff are gone. Jelaine's down in Florida, and a few things are going on, but John is still in this room. John, give us some thoughts on Christmas.
Rather than focusing just on Christmas, I have to start in the whole month of December.
Okay.
It's just a lot of work up to one day. It's a month of really great music. And it's a month and a half of really bad music.
Month and a half. Okay, I lost you.
Christmas music starts playing in the middle of November.
Okay.
And it runs the month and a half. It is a great time to hear really, really beautiful music. There's no doubt about that. And people tend to be a whole lot more accepting of each other that season, certainly. My favorite tradition that Becky and I do is pack up the pups and head up to our off-grid cabin and spend a week or so up there, not being bothered by anybody. from a Christmas point of view, that may not be something to think about, but that's what we do.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think about family and such. All of us are going to suffer losses at some time, and there'll be members that aren't there, and so we want to be sensitive to that. Thanksgiving, we were home, which we often aren't, and we invited a lot of people that didn't have any place else to go. And it's amazing what joy, almost as much joy or more joy, comes from those people as is even being with your family themselves. So we want to remember those people during Thanksgiving, or during Christmas and every holiday. One other thing, we talk about Thanksgiving. I want to have David and Cam kind of jump in on this one. Just in the last week when we're recording this, a special gift came in that took care of our financial needs for our staff, for their salaries for the rest of the year. Is there some form of Thanksgiving or thoughts that David kind of expressed that in our worship this morning, but maybe the two of you could weigh in and kind of give the perspective of how God has provided for this ministry for the last year.
Well, yes, if you look at the year in review, we had a generous year-end grouping of gifts at the end of last year. And then that tide took us into 2023, then we had a generous donor from Canada who gave a substantial gift, and that helped us go clear into June. And not by itself, but there were many other gifts. And whether the gift is $5 or $5,000, every bit helps to keep the operations going and to build out the new stations. And so we had some challenges through the months of the summer, as often happens. And yet, in the middle of the summer, we had station number 15 come back to full power after being off the air for a few months and on lower power for a few months. And in conjunction with that, we had the funds needed to finish paying for that station come in. And so we were able, in a time of operating shortfall, yet the Lord provided the 15th station to be paid off. And step by step, He addressed the needs during the fall. And we just received word of that donation in the form of a appreciated stock. And so that's going to take care of the remaining needs of the station that we didn't have sufficient to cover, namely the couple of payrolls. And so that's just a quick snapshot of how God has provided in some big ways, as well as the faithful donors who keep giving every month. They're a part of what keeps this ministry going. And so God has a thousand ways to provide for us.
Many times that those faithful donors is that base, that foundation that these other gifts build on. David, you shared so nicely this morning what that meant to you, that God always provide. Can you put that in your own words?
Well, I just remember going back to 2007, whenever we first started even talking about this, and the text Isaiah 41 verse 20 comes to mind, that the hand of the Lord is the one that has done this. It's not any one of themselves. We've all participated, we've all contributed, we've all done all of our best. But you look at what the Lord has done over the past 14 years, and going back even before that when we were starting, it's just God's faithfulness. Time and time again, whenever a bill came, the funds were there to pay the bill. And we just look at the end of the year and how the Lord has put it before us, like Cam just mentioned, and you're talking about, Tom, how at the end of the year, we're a payroll or two behind, and the Lord provided the funds for that. It's just time and time again, we can see that whatever our need is, whatever our desire is to uplift the name of God, when we're about our Father's business, He is going to make a way through it, even though it seems like there's a brick wall, a stone wall, or a mountain, or an ocean. He's got a way through that. We just have to be faithful and wait on Him in His perfect time. And when we do, the testimony that we have, and Joy and I were talking about this, there are people that don't see the faith walk that we've been through. They're just hearing about our faith walk. But as they hear about it, it encourages them. And so God uses us to be an encouragement to other people. And in turn, they can develop that faith walk, and then they can be an encouragement. So it's just that growth, that multiplication that God wants to do to multiply our faith, so we can see in the easy times. And now, you know, we're not in easy times now, but compared to what may be in the future, it's easy. In the easy times, if we can trust God when the hard time comes, we'll have that assurance that He'll still be there.
Amen. Well, listeners, you've been hearing some behind the scenes. Basically, we're celebrating the 14th birthday of going on the air with the first station in Cadillac and growing to 15 stations plus one television station. It's almost like a plateau going up to another 8 stations or 9 stations in the future. So we'll see what the Lord has for us for the next year, and just check us out next Christmas, 1 year from now, to see what the Lord has done. For Strong Tower Radio, I'm your host, Tom Majeure. God bless. Merry Christmas.